I pray that we have more of these groups in the church. It's always been my prayer that the musical groups in the church will be strengthened. And so if there's any groups which are fading away, I'll take that word back, which have not resumed duty for a while now, they should wake up. So that we all have a nice worship each and every time. Shall we pray? Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for this morning. Father, as we are about to discuss your word, and also to study more and learn more about the Sabbath School department and its purposes, Lord, I pray that you help us so that when we have heard today about our part and our role to play in this department, you help us to do accordingly what you expect of us. I pray that we have a receptive heart to your word, and let your Holy Spirit speak to us once again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
This morning, I think a few of us might have missed the presentation, but this is just a summary, so you can read it in your time. Today is the Sabbath School Emphasis Day. Usually on these days, we tend to have people from the conference, like a visiting speaker, to lead out. However, the last time we had it, we had Beulah Plunkett come in here, and we had a good day. I think it's a few months back. I don't know if everyone remembers. That's not a yes, so we've all forgotten. Yeah, but she took us through how we could make the Sabbath School more exciting, how we could rejuvenate certain structures within the department so that we can take full control of it. We can come to Sabbath School, we can get ourselves here, we can make the maximum use of time during our Sabbath School sessions. We also made a visit to York, where a few people had a teacher training, and I think some of us have had the certificates today. We've had it quite a while. So this is what the department has done. Now, those of you who don't know, the team consists of myself, Sister Sarah, and Lizzie Machera, and then we've also got Angelina as a team, and then we've got Delia as our elder, who sort of supports us wherever we need the support. But obviously, the department consists of all of us here in this room. There's no excuse, as I always say. We are all part of the department. So today, it's more like an in-house program. It's more like an in-house session where we will be looking at certain things which we should be doing. There are certain things we know, certain things we'll be talking about which we already know, but then we need to quicken ourselves and start doing more. So after we've done this, it's my prayer that the next Sabbath School Emphasis Day will involve more of the community, will involve more families who are not originally in this church, so that we can be able to go according to our purposes. Now, I'm just going to take from our church manual here, reminding us again of our purpose, the Sabbath School department. Four purposes come up: study of the scripture, fellowship, community outreach, and world mission emphasis. I think in times past we've done a bit of the scripture. It's still ongoing. We never finish with it. We're still studying fellowship. What I think it's a bit lacking is regarding the community outreach, which is my prayer that we'll be liaising with other departments to do more. And with world mission emphasis, I think mainly through our mission report and our support of other missions across the borders through our finances. So basically, that's what we've been doing. But we still, I'm not saying that we're doing very well. I don't think we still need to do some more. So that's where we stand at the moment. I'll at this time allow Sister Elder Delia to bring us just about the importance of this department. She's going to do a little talk on that. Thanks for that.
Very good. Emphasis on very short. Brother Sammy asked me to speak to you a bit about the importance of Sabbath school. I'm not really clever enough to come up with very good things very quickly. So I decided that I'm going to read from someone that's much more clever than me and is inspired. So I'm just going to read from Ellen White and what her words are about the Sabbath school. The Sabbath school work is important, and all who are interested in the truth should endeavor to make it prosperous. And the Sabbath school, when rightly managed, possesses marvelous power. It should be one of the greatest instrumentalities and the most effectual in bringing souls to Christ. The Sabbath school is also an important branch of the missionary work, not only because it gives to young and old a knowledge of God's word, but because it awakens in them a love for its sacred truth and a desire to study them for themselves. Above all, it teaches them to regulate their lives by its holy teachings. There is a broad field in Sabbath school work that needs to be diligently cultivated, and that is to inspire our youth to give themselves wholly to the Lord to be used by Him in His cause. There should be zealous, faithful workers in our Sabbath schools who watch and discern upon whom the Spirit of God is moving and cooperate with the angels of God in winning souls for Christ. There are sacred responsibilities entrusted to Sabbath school workers, and the Sabbath school should be a place where, through the living connection with God, men, women, youth, and children may be so fitted up that they shall be a strength and blessing to their church. They should help the church upward and onward as far as it lies in their ability, going from strength to greater strength. Sabbath school should be a place where the jewels of truth are searched for and rescued from their environment of error and placed in their true setting in the framework of the gospel. Precious gems of truth, long lost sight of, are now to be restored to the children of God. The themes of justification by faith, righteousness of Christ, should be presented in our schools that the youth and children may understand these important subjects and teachers may know the way of salvation. Sacred and eternal principles connected with the plan of salvation have long been lost from sight, but they must be restored to their proper place in the plan of salvation and made to appear in their heavenly light and penetrate the moral darkness in which the world is enshrouded. No one can labor in the Sabbath school or in a temperance work without reaping a bountiful harvest, not only in the end of the world, but in the present life. In the very effort to enlighten and bless others, his own views will become clearer and broader. The more we endeavor to explain the truth to others with a love for souls, the plainer will it become to ourselves. It ever opens with new beauty and force to the understanding of the expounder. These quotes are from testimonies on Sabbath school work. So what these quotes mean to me is that the Sabbath school really is the heart of our church. It's where we come to learn, where we come to build on things that maybe we already know but we're unclear of. It's a place where we come to share our ideas and maybe proven wrong, maybe proven right. It's a place of mission where we can invite others that are not members of our church, and they can learn something about what we believe in as a church. Brother Sam asked me to speak about what the Sabbath school means personally to me. So I like to say, first and foremost, I've been in church for quite a long time, and I remember when I was a teenager, I absolutely dreaded it, because it always was a time where I was made to do stuff, made to read things or made to present things, and I thought there was extra homework on top of my schoolwork. But as time went on and I was, you know, going through the lesson, I realized that it was making me, one, go through the lesson diligently during the week, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be prepared to do anything on Sabbath. And secondly, by talking and sort of sharing with others what I found during the lesson or what the text in the lesson meant to me, I felt that I was learning as well, and I was also learning from others, because other people see things differently than you do. So it was, in the end, I find it quite an enriching experience. I also think that it sort of helped me grow as a Christian. It also helped me to prepare to share the truth with others better, because I understood them better. And what was I going to say? I also felt like, if you've been in the church for a long time, you know that a lot of the Sabbath school topics tend to repeat themselves. So a lot of the studies, you've gone through it at least a couple times if you've been in the church a long time. But each time I go through it, I find I learn something new. The Book of Matthew, I mean, if I don't know how many years ago, I remember that we've gone through it again. But going through it again this time, in this quarter, I feel every time I'm learning things. So it never gets old, it never gets boring. But you do have to put the effort into it. And as Sister White says, it's very rewarding. And it's an important department to support. And I encourage everybody to get involved. Because, as I said, even though I initially dreaded it and I didn't like it, you know, retrospectively, it was a big blessing to me, and I still feel it is. So I hope that encourages some of you to get more involved.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. This task was given to you at a short notice, but we thank God for what you've told us. One of the things we studied on our previous course, yeah, but before I go there, I think it's someone I've seen here for, is it your first day today? I'm sorry. Is it your first day today? Jerome, the gentleman sat next to you. Your first day today, yeah. Welcome. You are warmly welcome to Hall SDA Church. And I think at the right time we'd speak to you some more. Apart from that, is there anyone here for the first time? No? Okay. Yeah. So one of the things also we learnt about is mission and then vision. Also, as a department, this year we've not come up with that one yet. And I think this afternoon we're going to work on that. Because that will also help us to know where we are going and what we expect in times ahead to come. Because if we don't have that and we've not set any goals, then obviously we wouldn't be motivated to do some work. So we'll be looking at that. But just before I get through that, there is a little survey that we also want to do. First question, we'll distribute little papers around. It's not a trick question. You just answer a yes or a no. It's just why or and. So the first question is just two questions. And that will also help us as a department going forward as to what we can do. So Sister Sarah and Sister Namkita will distribute little papers round. Now the first question that I would like to ask, and this involves all the children. And it's my prayer that today we will all, everybody is going to talk during this session. It's not a sermon per se, but then everyone will have the opportunity to talk this afternoon. So the first question is, did you study your lesson this week just gone by? Did you study the lesson? So it's just a yes or no No name, nothing. So that's why I'm not saying, raise your hand and say, I did not study the lesson. So just write it down. And just relax. I want everyone to relax. It's not a time of scrutiny. It's not a time that you're going to be reprimanded. But at the same time, it's not a time that we're going to encourage people to say, don't study the lesson. It's a time that we all help ourselves. So we just want that little survey, and then we'll see how we go with that. So the first question, do you need a paper? Yeah, I need one. Are you going on? So that's the first question. Whether you studied the lesson for the week. The second question is, do you always study your lesson every week?
Every week.
So that's a yes or a no? And when you've done that, we'll just collect those papers. Please give those papers back to Sister Sarah. So this time is just a little MOT. This is a little MOT test that we're doing now to see how we are faring, also as a department, and how best to get around things. Having said about it, the department has certain challenges that we, like when it comes to the issue of time, we have a challenge in that regard, and also studying the lesson, that's another challenge. But my personal view about it is that a personal preparation for the lessons reflects on the time in church. So if we have all of us come and we are personally prepared for the lesson, obviously to reflect on the study for the day. But if we come not prepared, it's also got its implications on the day. So I would encourage all of us that we make cautious effort to study the word. And like we gained this morning, it's an essential tool which we need in the work today. We need to study the word to move along. It is said generally that men look after their cars better than they look after themselves. That is the general research which was done. So when something is not going on well with the car, they're very quick to sort the car out. But it's been studied, it's been seen that when men are seeing certain symptoms, which means they have to get themselves into hospital, they don't act as fast as they should. But that doesn't also change the fact that ladies have more shoes generally than men. Now, don't shoot me as well on that. But what I'm trying to point across is that we need these tools. We need to look after ourselves here in church. And also, we know the times we are in. Knowing the times we are in
also means that we have to know how to live in the times that we are in. So we will have a little feel of what it is to study the lesson. And this week's lesson was titled Get Up and Walk, Faith and Healing. I don't know if you can see from... Yeah, so this is this portion is going to be a lot more interactive. So there's a lot of us here, so if I change position, I'll cause a lot of chaos. But just on the row which you are sat on, just on the row, you do the discussion just within the row that you are sat on. Get up and walk, faith and healing. And you can also talk to me. I just want to ensure that nobody sleeps through this session, that we all get to talk to each other. Now, the memory text, it says, for which it's easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk. So, one question that I got asked one of the days was, how can I study my lesson study effectively? How can I study? I'm so busy with work, I'm so busy with school work. How can I study my lesson? How can I make time for my study? And this reminds me of a question which a pastor was asked one day. That, Pastor, you make a lot of references to books which you have read. How do you make time to study or to read other books and also study your work? And the pastor's answer to this person was, how do you make time to eat? So that wasn't the answer that they wanted. He says, how do you make time to eat? We find time to eat, don't we? We make time to eat. So that was the question that was asked. So making time, that is one thing, but how do you do it? So it all comes with time management again. And our Sabbath school, by saying all this, I'm not singling myself out as well, but what happens on Sabbath, it starts from when we leave here. So when we leave here, whatever we're doing in the week, we are preparing ourselves to get ourselves here and ready for the day. So get up and walk, faith and healing. Just within the role which you are sat, what do you get from just the title, Get Up and Walk, Faith and Healing? So this time you can speak within yourselves, and after that, we can just ask for one or two feedbacks and that's it. And we'll carry on to another something else. So get up and walk, faith and healing. So please feel free to talk just within yourself. If you don't know the person sat next to you, ask them their name, who they are, and then you carry on.
I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay, thank you. So just the topic, what did you get from it? I think that's what happens when you get going, and then sometimes you have to apply the brakes before everyone will stop. But we thank God for that. So this is just a little feel of what we have during Sabbath School, lesson study. And it's my prayer that you come as you are. I know sometimes we might think we are not prepared for the lesson. I'm not encouraging you to say not to study. But if it so happens that come Sabbath, you've not studied, please do not say I'm coming for divine worship because I've not studied. Maybe I just asked the question and I'm not able to answer. But just come as you are, and I believe in my heart that God is going to speak to you. And if you've already prepared as well, come and share that which you have. Because that's one of the things which we also got, that we come in here and we share what we have studied. And others also share. So in the end, we have a fair share of what God wants us to hear. So just two points: get up and walk, faith and healing. What came up in your discussions? Please feel free to talk.
Well, in our group, we're looking at the fact that it's the faith that inspired the movement. It's the faith that inspired in our lives, inspired us to, you know, overcome many of the dark and difficult times that we've been through. And we were relating that to the fact of many realistic problems that we face every day, whether it could be bills, whether it's, you know, feeling bad, you know, emotional issues, ill health. And we're realizing that really through the faith, that's how we're going to get that completeness, we're going to get that peace, we're going to get that joy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me personally, I was remembering the woman who, you know, just touched the edge of Jesus' cloak, mm-hmm. and, you know, by that she was made whole. So faith can really transform our lives in a very practical way, even though it's something that is not tangible.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What's your name again? You call Sammy. Yeah, those words are taken from the book of from Matthew chapter 9, where certain people brought a disabled person to Christ for healing, and because of their great faith, the great faith of the people who brought the disabled person, Christ told him, "Son, your sins are forgiven you. Rise up and walk." Mm. But then the scribes and the Pharisees who saw that, you can read that in chapter 9 of Matthew. The Pharisees who saw that said, well, how can this person say that he is forgiving somebody their sins? It's only God who can forgive. Mm. What powers does he have to forgive anybody? And Christ, knowing that, being God, he knew what was going on in their hearts, in their minds. And he asked them, what is easier to do? To say, rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven you? And then he told him, rise up, take your bed and go, to demonstrate that he was God. He had the powers to heal and the powers to make whole those that were disabled.
Thank you for your time that you've gone around just the title. We've not even delved into the lesson yet, so just the title and just thinking around the title, what the title means to us. And another thing also, which I'll be going back to what we discussed this morning, back and forth. When we have studied the word, when we have done this discussion and we have read the word, another thing is also which has come up was to personalize it. What does it? What is in there for me? So the words and the things that we study, they are not distant. In the end, we have to personalize it and ask, what is here for me, or what is God telling me through this lesson that I have studied? And that is the beauty of it, of our studies. Now, the writer just writes here, says, if you made a list of what you most dreaded in life, what would it look like? So just, I know you all have the answers to yourself. It's just the beginning, what it is. What would it look like with a list of the things that you most dread? So think about it this way. And then he makes a comparison. He says, if God were to make a list, what would he most dread? If someone can shout out, what is it that God will most dread on his list, if this is the case?
The loss of our lives.
Eternal
salvation. Right.
Yeah, so exactly what it written says. Sure, God cares about our physical illness and death, but most of all, he cares about our spiritual illness and eternal death. So this is just the illustration. So we move on to Sunday. Now, the question which I asked, which is still streaming in my head, how effectively you learn this, you study the lesson, it's, do you think we can have a list of how you can study? Because I'm seeing it more like it depends on the individual and what they see best for them. Is there a one size fits it all? Speak to me.
Every individual is different, Sonny.
Yeah.
And everyone has their own way of doing things. And everyone has their way of approaching Bible study. As we said in the morning, the first thing you need to do before you read the Word of God is to bring yourself into reference with God by prayer.
Right.
The prayer doesn't have to take an hour. It can take 5 minutes or 10 minutes,
okay,
or less. But you need to say prayer and ask the Lord to lead you in what you want to read and give you the meaning of the message and interpret for you the words in those particular verses.
Okay.
Then you read or you study. And of course, you need to study with and give yourself time and space to think about what you are reading at that particular time. What meaning does it carry for you? What interpretation do you get out of it? It's not just read, and stop and close the Bible.
So, like I said earlier on, So, we have to then look at ourselves and say, what is the best plan for me? But with the help of God, to plan a time, what is best for you. Some people have made certain suggestions that will stop them from forgetting to study the word. Some have the Sabbath school, they said they'd rather place their Sabbath school on their pillow. So before they go to bed, they know, I've not studied my word today. You get sight of the Sabbath school, I have to read it before I sleep. Some others said, no, I can't do it last thing at night. I'm really tired. I want to do it first thing in the morning. So you know yourselves. You know what is best for you. But the main thing is don't leave it too long, because we can decide, I'm going to do this, but the main thing is how are you going to do it and to attack it. And as I said, this session is open to all. Please feel free to talk. I know it's a big class. Sometimes it's difficult for everyone to speak, but please feel free, and then you speak like within a minute. I'm just the time. I'm just conscious of the time. Sunday talks about touching the untouchable, and if someone can read Matthew 8:1-4.
When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So as we can read here from that illustration, it says the leper kneels before Jesus and says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And I like the word where it says the Greek word for can is dunamite, like dynamite in English. It means full of power. So if you are willing, you are full of power and can change my life. So this is the Jesus that we serve. I want us to contrast this with to read Matthew 8, 5 to 13. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. And that's Monday's question. Keep this question at the back of your mind. What important truths about faith and what it means to have faith are revealed in this story? And what should it say to us as Seventh-day Adventists, given the privileges we have? So Matthew 8, 5 to 13.
And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
Amen.
For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
Amen.
When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I said unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah. Now the question that is being asked, because it's it says, what should it say to us as Seventh-day Adventists, given the privileges we have? So in our rows again, just that discussion, I think this will be the last discussion in our rows. And then the question which is being asked is, what should it say to us as Seventh-day Adventists, given the privileges we have? This particular verse which we have read. So just another 2 minutes for that discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, in just 1 minute, someone who has not spoken, just a feedback on what you discussed. Just 1 minute each, two people. Someone who has not spoken.
Well, I am basing on the verse 11. As we in Adventists, basing on the verse 11, that Jesus Christ said that people will come from the east and the west to sit down with Abraham, but those who are for the kingdom will be cast out. Mm-hmm. We boast ourselves to say we are Adventists. We hold the word. We know the word. How are we? How do we hold the word? How do we know the word? Do we just say that by our mouth? Because comparing this to the centurion, he had a faith, and he recognized his sins by saying that I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. And the faith by saying that just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. You see, the faith that he had there healed the servant. And also, Jesus used the 11 to illustrate the kingdom, who will be those who come there in the kingdom, but they are out. And those who are out will come into the kingdom.
Okay. So, just the last person, just a minute. What you discussed in your group. I heard a lot of talking. I know it's a big class, and that is what the Sabbath school has done to me. That's my personal testimony, that I never thought that I can be able to stand in front of more than two people and even talk. So through the Sabbath school, it was just a few years back that one superintendent said, "Do you mind leading out in the lesson?" In a small group, and that was news to me, to lead out in a lesson. So as I've said before, that there were times when you won't see my feet, but my feet are shaking behind this pulpit. But through the times of saying yes and doing as I'm told, it's all changed. So it's my prayer that as you continue to come and as you continue to interact, things will change. We don't all have the same gift, I know. But there are some of us with the gift already, but then we need that quickening to get ourselves going. So I know that that will come as well. So just 1 minute, one last feedback. And I think... okay, right? I do.
Speaking to the mountain. When you speak to the mountain, the people will move, and it even says in the Bible somewhere that speaks to the mountain. And you can see as the centurion had so much faith, that if Jesus just said something, then his servant would be healed. And also in the beginning, God spoke the word, and the world became
healed. Okay. Okay, thank you. So in our discussion here, what was coming up, or what I gathered, correct me if I'm wrong, was the issue of complacency when it comes to us being Adventists. Because sometimes we would say, like you, Brother Solomon said, we know this, we have this, we have that. But then the point will be, how are you living it? When it comes to the practical side, because it's two sides, one thing knowing, one thing studying, and then one thing as well, living it and actually practicing it. So those are the two sides of it. So this afternoon we will continue with something else, but it will be more in the line of people being equipped with leading out with the lessons and facilitating it this afternoon. And also we'll be working on our mission statement for this year, and our vision for this year. And it's my prayer that when we have arrived at it, we work with it. Time will not allow me to go through all the days, but in your spare time, you've had a feel of how we have just done it. You might have a different approach. As I said, the approach is not set in stone. You might have an approach which is different from how we have done it here. But whichever you find ideal for you, please go with it. And if you have any issues, please contact us. We might, if we don't have the answer, we will point you in the right direction as to who can help. And as came up this morning, all of us come together to strengthen each other. If you single yourself out, say you put yourself in isolation to study the word, it's sort of on the weaker side. But then if you come together with us and commune, we discuss the word, God is going to help us with an answer to it. And you yourself, after you've joined that fellowship, you'll feel strengthened. And just for the answer to the little survey, it says people who said no to both questions, is it 23?
Yes.
So that's the first question.
First and second.
The first, okay. So for the first question, 23 people didn't study the lesson for the week which has just gone by.
Yeah.
So that is our statistics for today. And obviously there's more than, at least about 50 of us in this room. So we had 6 people who said yes. To both questions.
Yeah.
So 6 people studied the lesson for the week which has just gone by. And
they study every day.
4 people said sometimes on both questions, sometimes. And then 2 people said they don't have the lesson books. So that's it. They don't have the lesson books. And then also, someone has just said, is it one person said, pray for me? That was the answer to both questions.
No, you said no to the first one and pray for me for the second one.
Right. Okay. So we have heard our little survey, how it went. 4 people said sometimes on both questions. People said yes. 2 people said yes to the first question. So in total, I have about 8 people, isn't it? 8 people saying yes, who have studied your word. But one thing about these, what I've done here, don't let that sort of flatten you, but it makes you know where you are, like the business people will do. When they've done their survey, their study, it makes them then to know what strategies are we going to put in place to perform better in the next coming year. So when you've done your survey, then it's going to help you. Now that you know what the statistics are, what you're going to say to yourself is, I'm going to help bring this number up. Or you ask yourself, what am I going to do to bring this number up? And it's not just reading your word, like you've said. It's not just studying it, but it's also practicing what we study. So please don't be disheartened by this little survey that we've done. But at least it helps us to know where we stand. And then it helps us to also see what we can do to improve ourselves. But hopefully this afternoon, we'll be having more discussions on that. How can we study effectively, or what can we do to manage time so that we can make time for God's word, we can make time for Sabbath school. Like Delia said, that Sabbath school is the heart of the church, and it's the main point where decisions are taken. So obviously, if that part is wrong, then it's going to affect a lot of decisions in the church, and it's actually going to affect our relationship with each other in the church. So it's my prayer that we get it right up there with the word, so that we will be led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you.